Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/wondery. That's vanta.com/wondery for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on, it's about keeping everything secure.
Travis fell in love with the perfect woman. Beautiful, understanding, available 24/7. There was just one catch. She wasn't human. Binge all episodes of Flesh and Code early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
My name is TJ Raphael. I'm the host of Liberty Lost, a new podcast about who gets to be a mother and the control of young women hidden behind the veil of faith. Binge all episodes of Liberty Lost ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Hi everyone, welcome back. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're wondering where part one was, well, go check in the feed and be sure to subscribe so that way you always get your episodes. But enough of that, let's get right back into the episode.
So Andy asked, like, Portia, did you really think Drew was sleeping with Dennis for Beats? She's like, oh, no. Because she knows Dennis doesn't really have Beats. Why? I'm still confused why Dennis is in the music producer position. I mean, he's a hot dog. He's a hot dog salesman. How did he wind up as this like celebrated producer that Drew Sidora just had to work with?
Do you trust Dennis's music?
And have you heard any of Drew's new album?
I heard snippets, just like a post on Instagram or whatever. It doesn't sound bad. She has an amazing voice. Like Drew can really sing. But I'm just not buying it. Like, I'm just like, girl, I'll say
when they had her sing that song to Ralph at the reunion, that
top
was
10 moments of Atlanta all time. And there are a lot of moments, but that
it was such a contrived moment, but it was so worth it. And the fact that they always bring that out, they always cut to her singing. And then they always end the clip with that close up on Ralph's face where he's like, every single time he's like, what am I doing?
And then didn't Candy say you're going to sing it in front of him or something like that? Oh my God, it was the best.
So they're basically asking like, True, like what the hell? Like why, like of all the producers, she's like, look, this is the business that I operate in. So there's no mistaking. Like this wasn't just a homie hookup. We actually conducted real business. The real business that happens when a singer gets in front of a mic and a man who sells hot dogs tells her what song to sing. Not only is he invited to the cookout, he's actually providing the cookout. Okay. He is the one.
I'm like, all this for Dennis? Dennis?
So she's really like the Dennis storyline is like a wild one for me just because
it's insane.
It's just like Atlanta has a lot of music producers. Like there's big major ones that are out there. And Dennis is the worst that she could find.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they were really having sex or having any sort of relationship. It definitely did seem very platonic to me, you know?
Yeah. But then my thing is like, Drew, you signed up for the storyline regardless because you knew that working with Dennis, especially after finding out that Portia was coming back, whenever they found out, you know, I don't know what the timelines are. I don't know if she started working with him before Portia said that she was coming back or before that news broke or after. But you knew that this was going to be a storyline, right? Like, yeah, you knew that even if Portia didn't feel a way, then another cast member would kind of make it a thing and like kind of force Portia to feel a way. So it's like, what did you expect?
Yes.
And then the idea of just like them so openly talking about each other's quote unquote storylines, I'm like, we have lost the goddamn plot. I can't. Like, come on.
The minute I feel storyline is mentioned by a housewife, they got to get like, they got to go.
Well, they said it about, well, 15 although at times the same time, night.
I thought it was actually kind of refreshing that they didn't like mask their frustration with some fake thing, because that's happened. That would happen for years where like people are actually mad at each other because of something that's happening with production. But they have to say like, you didn't eat all my I brought shrimp cocktail to your house and you didn't eat it. And they have to like pretend like this is the feud, but they're not really angry about that. Mm-hmm. So I do kind of like at least being more honest with the audience. But yeah, you know, if you don't have more stuff going on than like how you're actually filming the show that we're watching, it's not always a great sign. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, Portia does give Drew credit. She says that like her album is like really, really good. And Portia, it's like but it's really just a setup to air a grudge, because she's like, you know, I would never come down on your brand or who you are in your town the way you did at the Breakfast Club. So you can congratulate your fellow iHeart co-workers over there for stirring the pot to some degree, or providing a forum for that for this issue, because apparently Drew went on to the Breakfast Club and talked shit about Portia's brand.
She talked shit about Go Naked Hair. I just like,
were you
the
guys
best is when she was there, you were literally like, oh my God, I just found out all the gossip.
I was going to ask, were you there when Drew Sidora came into the, because Breakfast Club is just down the hall from you guys, right?
Yeah. Yep. And so a lot of them don't watch Housewives. So they text me. I know. They text me like a week before and they were like, hey, we have Drew Sidora coming up. Like, is there anything that a Bravo watcher really wants to know? I said, yeah, why the fuck does she lie so much? Like, I'm like, write it down, ask her these questions, because this is sick. So when she did come in, they were like texting me things, and then I walked over there and I could like see portion of it. But like, Drew did exactly what Portia, like, she fell into the trap, you know, and so she gave Portia something to talk about. But like, Drew, just like Bonnie Raitt, continues to lie. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, but you know, at the same time, Drew is like working for her. She's working for her money. She's like, well, I know this is gonna be messy. I'm gonna say this on the Breakfast Club right now, one of like the biggest platforms that are out there, knowing that it's gonna start a feud, and then I'll be in a relevant storyline with one of the stars of the show, and I will somehow make it onto yet another season. Because at first, when Drew came back for like a second season, I was shocked. I was like, really? To bring back Drew Sidora, especially after that ridiculous storyline she had about like, there's a prophet Locke. I know a prophet. Yes. And there was a storyline, Andrew, there was a whole storyline where there was this prophet who was off camera. Like at the very end of the season, they tacked on the storyline about like, there's a prophet who I think was having an affair with this woman, LaToya. And I was like, this random ass storyline that then took over the reunion. And I was like, this girl has to go. And then they brought her back. I was like, really? But then I start to realize she's so delusional that like, she just works as a housewife, you know?
She can push the narrative forward. And that's what you need on these shows. When they stay in the back and talk about the shrimp cocktail, it's not fun. She'll keep pushing it forward. And that's a good actor and character.
So Portia and Drew are like squabbling this entire reunion. And so, okay, well, we've got a question from a Diet Coke can in Ohio who says, Portia, now that you've been seen the season, do you think you owe Drew an apology for the way you treated her? Because from what we saw on the show, the relationship between her and Dennis was all business. So I'm thinking Portia would be like, absolutely not, because she knew my boundaries. Instead, Portia like wipes off her pants and stands up and is like, she's like, come on. I thought she was going to walk off the stage. I thought she was angry, but she goes,
me too.
It's a classic Real Housewives twist at a reunion when out of nowhere, someone stands up and is like, let's hug. And she pulls the let's hug card right here on Drew. I did not see this. I was like, wait, you guys were just fighting 5 seconds ago and now you're hugging. You know what? What did you take from this moment from Portia Diamond?
That she's bored. Literally. She's bored of it. And I get it. But like when she sat back down and she's like, she said she wasn't in a good space and blah, blah, blah. And she apologized. And I'm like, I get it. Right. Like you're what she said. It didn't make her feel good to watch the season back and see like how far the little petty argument that started like that it all started from went. I think she's bored. I don't think that Portia really ever cared, but it was more of like, either for the show or I guess principle wise, like, cause I'm not going to lie. I'm very territorial. If you brought my child's father, I don't have any children, but if you brought my child's father on my show, like, you know, like it's my show too, right? He's a part of my storyline. You don't get to like sneakily film with him and make it seem like you guys aren't as close as you are. You're close enough to film with each other. Right. So like, I wouldn't have, it would have been war forever, but I'm happy that she got over it and she was like, just based off of the principle, don't do that. Cause now I'm going to film with Ralph. How about that?
Yeah. And I like that Andy was like, so that was to be petty. She's like, oh yeah, absolutely. I was just being petty. Even though she denied all season. Oh no, I was totally being petty. Yeah, 100%. I have to say my theory, the reason why she made up with Drew so much, I think she was bored. I think she's like, I don't want to do this anymore. But she's also like, I'm going up against Shamia this reunion. Like I'm fighting with Shamia. I can't battle on two fronts. I need to say, I need to like, let's like nip this in the bud. Let me make her my new ally because I've got to save my real energy for Shamia. This stuff I don't care about. So I think she was like building an ally. She was recruiting to her team and she was like, I don't want to be in a fight with Drew. Like being in a fight with Drew is like, it's very like low rent. I want to fight with Shamia. Shamia is like a fellow rich person. Drew is like, Drew is not a rich. I don't want to fight with Drew. She's just not like, you want to go where the glamour is, right?
Yeah.
And it's like not exciting to fight with Drew.
Yeah. Drew is boring. She's boring. Like, you know, besides the lies, you know that she's going to lie. It's getting to the point where it's like, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. What else can you give me? But with Portia and Shamia, this is going to be a good one.
It's going to be good. Rich lady fight. We like that. We want rich lady fights. It's like fighting with like, you know, like a perfectly fine ranch home. That's like fighting with Drew. So you want to fight with a mansion. You want to have a mansion fight. Not like, you know, respectable three bedroom, you know.
That's why Monica was a one and done.
Suburban.
What are you fighting? It's very suburban.
We don't. We want mansion versus mansion, not mansion versus suburban home. OK. So Andy's like, OK, cool. Didn't see that happening. OK, well, Kelly, when you joined this friend group with Britt, you came into the season inseparable to the point where you were like finishing each other's sentences. Or maybe I just wasn't paying attention, didn't know who was talking in the first place. And now we get into like what happened with Kelly and Britt, because they had a big falling out, which Ronnie and I both clocked because we're like, they're spending way too much time in Nashville talking about this stylist and why this. Kelly mentioned so many times why the stylist was great and she lent the stylist. We're like, this is not going to end well, especially because stylists are messy. Stylists and makeup people, they're the messiest people on these shows each and every time. Joey Maloof and Sutton Strack. We know, we remember.
They're just waiting to be mentioned in the cameras. They're texting everybody. Oh my God, all the gossip. You just know that the minute they're filming something, all of that is going to all their friends and that feeds into the blogs.
And speaking of Heather Gay, let's not forget who allegedly was like part of unmasking Reality Vantis was Heather's own like hair person.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
So Kelly basically says like, yeah, this like stylist thing, like, I let her use my stylist and I have a whole team. Not really clear why Kelly has a whole team, but she has a whole team.
Yeah. I don't get it. To have a whole team and still look a mess every time that camera is on you, I don't understand it. That money needs to be saved and put away for her, you know, legal fees, because this is crazy.
Or a waffle iron. Yeah.
True.
So save like $25.
Prime day passed. We can't have to wait for the next one for her to get the waffle iron.
I have to say, Cuisinart actually sent me like a little waffle iron a few weeks ago, which was like one of like, One of my proudest moments was somehow managing to land on Cuisinart's radar and getting a little waffle iron. And
so it's like the Kelly, most fun. There is hope.
Kelly, just talk about it enough. Have Cuisinart send you a waffle iron at this point. But it is like the cutest little thing. It makes these little waffle things, little waffle fingers. And ooh. I'm like, I have to tell you, it's the most fun thing. Like, I actually don't know why she's not busting out her waffle iron more, because it's just so fun to put. You put some batter in that thing, you close it up, you open it up 3 minutes later, and you've got a whole delicious waffle waiting for you. Like, why wouldn't you be just like putting that front and center in your life? Why are you not centering your waffle iron right now?
She's kind of pulling a Sonia Morgan, where it's like, yeah, it's coming. It's not here yet. It's coming. Like, what is happening?
Yes. So anyway, so we hear about this like stylist situation, and you know, Kelly is of the mindset of like, you just want to steal my life, which I feel like is, that's a bit much. I think Kelly, I think she's totally validated in saying like, I lent you like my team, like you'd use them, and then you just took them without telling me. Theoretically, there's nothing wrong with that, but it feels weird just to do that, right? I mean, where do you guys stand on this whole stylist beef that they have going on?
I kind of think that it's Kelly. If your team had such an allegiance to you, then this wouldn't even be a real argument.
There you go. There it is.
And from people, from what I've seen online, they were saying that Kelly she wasn't really paying them. So I really wish that Britt was there to clock that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I just don't, like, I'm like, Kelly, not one person on that team has been like, no, I'm standing firm. Kelly pays me well. She takes care of me. I'm going to stay with her.
Even the Shaw Squad stayed around for a while, even after everything happened. Like, there was some Shaw Squatters that were like, we're going down the ship. But like Kelly, like they did all turn on her. I think that, I mean, first of all, Britt, get your own people. I do think like get your own people. Like that's your friend team. Like, or have a conversation. Like, can we go halvesies with them? They both work for both of us or something, but don't like, but also Kelly, pay your people too. Like, I think Kelly is trying to elevate herself by being like, she's trying to steal my life. I'm like, no one is stealing your life.
Nobody no is one wants your life
right now.
Like, girl, if you can't get a
waffle iron, then we don't want that life. I want a life with waffles.
waffle iron. I may want her dog's life, but I don't want hers, because that dog is being pampered.
That dog is being pampered, but not styled very well. Like that.
But if Kelly's team hopped over to Britt, do you think Britt would have paid?
Well, they said that Britt was paying. I don't know how long she would be able to sustain that with her shady.
The question, are they getting paid, but would they be fed at a Brit Edie event? That's the other question.
Oh, well, absolutely not. We saw that. Yeah. How do you rent out the country club with nothing in it, basically? Like, I don't understand.
Worth of food.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
When you get to that level, let me tell you something about country clubs. They nickel and dime everything down to like whatever you're using, the table rental fees, the chairs. It is horrendous to throw parties at country clubs, because they will get you for everything.
But when you're wealthy enough that you're like pretending to like browse for private planes, you don't care about the nickel and dimes at a country club.
Like, girl,
true.
Yeah.
As she should have had it in the church basement, like everybody else. I'm sick of it.
As she donates like half a roll of generic like toilet paper to people in Grenada.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then they start saying how that at the beginning of the season, the newbies all got together and decided to have an alliance together to take down Portia. And then, of course, the newbies are like, no, there was no alliance. And then Shamia even says, no, there was alliance, but Portia was in the alliance. And then Portia says, I was never part of alliance because alliances destroy shows, including this one in the past. I personally think that what happened was the newbies said, hey, we got to stick together, because they're going to Portia's probably going to try to be like, I own this. I'm you guys are freshmen, I'm the senior, and we have to be like, no, we deserve a spot too. I kind of feel like that was probably the vibe, but now it's been sort of distorted into like an alliance, like a Survivor. Where do you guys think this all, where do you guys think the truth is in this whole situation?
I think that there was for sure an alliance, but I'm not 100% sold that Portia knew about it. Like, I feel like if Shamia would have said, yeah, there was an alliance, but I didn't feel comfortable joining an alliance without Portia because that's been one of my best friends since I was a child. That fine, right? Like, I get it. Or if Shamia said, well, in my head, Portia was a part of my alliance because that's been my best friend since I was a child. Whatever. But I do believe that Portia may have like said, no, like, no, I'm not going to join an alliance. It's my first season back. This kill shows, and I'm not going to be a part of it. I could see that. Now, I don't know.
I don't understand. Like, yeah, the alliance with Portia doesn't even make sense to me because I just, who are you allying against? Maybe against Kenya, because Kenya was, well, she was sort of like a friend of any, I don't know. I feel like something feels murky in here in this whole discussion of alliances.
I think you always assume that, when will there ever be a full cast of newbies? Not full cast of newbies, but when have all the newbies transferred over to the next season? So I feel like they need to figure out, like, they're going to come for one of the new people, right? So if they align early and try and go against the bigger team, it's like, or try and get some leeway in before they start digging into you. Like, I don't know. It's just self-protection at that point.
By the way, the answer to your question, Miami and New Jersey had newbies, had like a set of newbies that like were able to last actually a few seasons. Yeah. And Miami, when Miami came back, you know, you had Dr. Nicole, you had Julia, you had Gertie, you had some others. Yeah. They lasted. So, you know,
regrettably
it can happen.
Still Julia.
Yeah. God, that's incredibly. Okay, so then Andy is basically like asking Kelly about her relationship with Britt, you know, like where you were kind of like you would stick up for her and everything. You helped, like, you know, you backed her up, like after Kenya did everything, and then, you know, like you guys have fallen apart and everything, and, you know, asking her about that. And then he asked her about like when Britt said the abortion stuff, which was such a gross moment for Britt to do at that party. That was so low. It was really gross. But basically, Kelly says that like her stylist is the one, like she didn't even have a conversation with Britt about abortions, and that it was her stylist who told Britt, which is even grosser too, because now you've this is something you've only heard through gossip, and then you like weaponize it on camera, which it shouldn't even be anything to be weaponized in the first place, by the way. But so she talks about that and how like she also had her tubes tied, so she couldn't even have babies if she wanted to, etc. And then Andy's asking if the women think it's strange that Kelly travels with a bodyguard everywhere, which I guess, I mean, I don't know the degree to how dangerous her ex is, but that actually becomes a discussion here, which is like, Portia says, actually, I've heard that he's not even coming after her in the first place.
Yeah. How much is she paying the bodyguard? And is the bodyguard getting paid? Because if the glam squad's not getting paid, then what's...
That comes up. She has a lot of expenses, and I don't understand why Kelly has all these expenses and isn't paying like her teams, because she's falling into the housewife trap big time. Like, she's going to be in more trouble.
For sure.
But she just started, so she fell in by joining the show.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
She fell in by hearing that she may get on the show, elevating her lifestyle to a point that was unsustainable. Like, we can see that this is unsustainable. Yeah.
My anxiety would be through the roof if this was going on. I'd be like, oh my God, my house is going to fall apart.
Yeah, but a true housewife doesn't care.
They're living in a fake it till you make it, you know?
Yeah.
So Portia's like, well, I heard that the husband isn't even coming after her. Like, she's just probably saying that for the show. And they're like, well, how did you hear that? Like, well, Britt said it. And like, well, how did Britt hear that? And Drew says that the husband reached out to Ralph. And then we see this clip of Ralph doing some sort of vlog. And he's wearing this t-shirt that says, call me daddy, like in the kitchen or something. Because I think he's probably not allowed to say call me daddy since like it's too close to call her daddy or whatever. Yeah. So he's there. He's like, hey, it's Ralph. So everyone, I just had the opportunity, the unique opportunity to run into Kelly's husband. And he told me how he ended up going and getting put in jail by Kelly. Like, who is tuning into Ralph to hear gossip about Kelly's husband? No, who are these people that are like, guys, I would love to go out tonight, but Ralph has an exclusive. So
his live stream, I have to be home.
I have to watch his live stream from the basement. He just spoke to Kelly's ex. So
these are the same people that are going to Drew's shows at City Winery. You know, we never see a picture of the crowd. Do you realize that? We only see her on the stage.
It's an intimate event.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
An intimate exclusive event. You know?
Yes. Yes. When you cancel the tables.
Can't with her. Can't.
I really love that we've tapped in towards your distinct hate for Drew Sidor. I had no idea that you really hated her this much. But you know what? I support it. I totally support it.
I can't with her.
So then, you know, Kelly starts saying how, like, well, like, I can't just get a restraining order in Georgia. It takes too much with this and that. And so Andy basically is like, okay, well, so what's going on with your waffle shop? Because you kind of started the season saying that you like have a waffle empire and we haven't seen anything. Because she started that way. She's like, I have a cookbook. I have 45 restaurants. I've invented waffles and I'm going on Oprah next week. And you're like, really? And then nothing. We've seen nothing ever since.
Nothing.
Yeah.
She's a scammer. She's a scammer like Drew.
That being said, I believe that she can throw down in the kitchen. Like, if she said, I want to cook you breakfast, I would 100% be there. I think that she can do well. Although she clearly lost to Charles Oakley in the waffle cook-off at Williams-Sonoma, right?
Which was insane to me. Like, you're going to lose to a basketball player? Like, you know, what is happening here? A man who cares about nothing, you're going to lose to him, and this is supposed to be your brand?
Yeah.
But he clearly can cook because he's been cooking all season. Every time we see him, he's in the kitchen cooking food for who knows who. But like he does a lot. His big issue is that he got into a fight with Angela's in-laws about cleaning up the kitchen. So like he's very concerned with cooking. Like that's a big deal for him. So, okay. Charles. All right. Well, Shamia, your bond with Kelly was getting tighter while her friendship with Britt was crumbling. Did you stir the pot and all that? And basically, yeah, Shamia's like, yeah, I'm not friends with Britt anymore either. Like, I caught some strays, don't like her, not into her, whatever. So then now it's time, as we sort of come into the end of the reunion, we pivot to get to our cliffhanger, which is we're going to have our big Angela Oakley segment. So we see everything with Angela. And it's funny because to me, in the premiere episode, there was a huge amount of focus on the newbies, Kelly and Britt and Shamia. Mm-hmm. And Angela was almost an afterthought. She like came to this like first party, her wig, like it was hot. She had to fix her wig and everything. But she was like, it felt like she was not going to be central. And then now she is like fan favorite. She's the one that feels like she's been there for 10 years and she feels like she'll be there for 10 more years. She feels like she's like immediately part of Bravo canon. And so I don't know where I was going with this. I just wanted to praise Angela. Guys, can we stop the podcast so I can talk about Angela?
I loved Angela. I really love Angela. I'm excited. I think that she's hysterical. She was the one I was watching the whole time and waiting for like the funny remarks from. I think she'd be great on the Traitors. I think she'd be hysterical on the Traitors.
Oh, honey, let's not jump ahead of ourselves. Let's get her in another season and see what happens next.
That's how would Drew do on the Traitors?
Drew would be a traitor she would be like one of the first traitors out.
I would love to see Traitors where Drew is a traitor, just to watch her fumbling through her lies. Because she probably would like walk into the breakfast table and be like, well, good to see that you're all here. I mean, I knew you would be. And then be like, wait, how would you know? I mean, nothing. I'm an actress. I just say these things. I have a new album coming out. And then like, she's a traitor. So Angela, speaking of investigating, Angela is here to talk about this guy, Marcus, this thirsty man that they found. And they're like, so why are you so certain that it was Phaedra sent this guy, Marcus, to infiltrate the group? And she's like, well, he told me it was Phaedra. And she's like, but you never met this guy. She's like, no, never met, but he is from Athens, Georgia. And his aunt is a lady by the name of Kimberly Bleep. Kimberly Bleep drives a Kia. She gets it serviced on 3rd Street right next to a post office. And I have it under good authority that Phaedra's cousin's friend often mails packages from there. So I think it's pretty much an open and closed case, right?
That's wild.
That fell so flat. For me, yeah. At least. I'm like, it, Angela.
We love you, Angela, but this is not a convincing argument. And then she pulls out a binder because we knew that she didn't have the receipts on her phone. You know, Angela's going to be like, she's going to be analog. So she pulls out like this. She pulls out a one of those floppy binders, which is color coordinated. I like that she stuck with the theme of the reunion. She got a nice yellowish gold one. And she's like, here are my receipts, which is the receipt again is that Marcus's aunt, she says, went to high school with Phaedra and everything. And that therefore is the flaming, is the smoking gun, a flaming gun, if you will, an on fire gun that like Phaedra definitely sent Marcus. Who do you think sent Marcus? And I think there's only one correct answer, which is production, right?
Yeah,
for sure. And I think that it's so weird,
yeah,
that we're stuck on this, right?
Yes.
Like we want Phaedra to be the bad guy so badly that it's like it almost does stick. Like at first I was like, oh, Phaedra, like you did this shit again, like you've been back for 10 days and here you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really sit with it, and then the fact that like he came out and he's been trying to do interviews with people and like talking to blogs, I'm like,
he reached out to us. Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. Is he someone's hairstylist and or makeup artist and or bodyguard? Is he any of the three criteria of the gossip train?
Maybe Kimberly Blanks, you know?
Yeah. Wait, he reached out to you guys?
He didn't. I probably shouldn't have even said anything because I'll say it. I don't care. Like we like what happens off the podcast. We don't want to be like, if someone emails us, we just air it out on here. But like his people, I just feel like his like whatever. So thirsty. His people, like 2 or 3 days before the finale, were like, this is your chance to get an exclusive with Marcus to talk about what happened. We're only reaching out to you guys. Like, we don't care about Marcus. We don't care.
Pack it up.
This is wild.
Yeah. So I was like, you are no Cuisinart. Unless there's a waffle iron in the mix, we are not discussing this. Let's talk home appliances and then we'll see if you're on the podcast. Okay.
Right.
That was unethical. I have a very unethical policy about being on this. And yes, Diamond and Andrew did pay me with Cuisinart materials. Like, yep. Here's your food processor.
Enjoy it. That juicer is, just make sure you clean it. It is machine washable.
But I think Phaedra just doesn't have a motive to take down Angela. She doesn't know Angela enough. Like, just give Phaedra time and she'll do it on her own, but you don't have to push it. I think production pushed this and they told him to say Phaedra to get Phaedra into the mix because she's not in any sort of drama. And I think that's really all that this was. And Phaedra's like, what are you talking about? Like, this is crazy. She's like, I have like 4 siblings. Anyone could have gone to high school with them. This means nothing.
But don't you think that she also could have heard from production too, that like the season's off to a slow start. We got 10 days to make this thing. Like,
yeah.
Send Marcus, this random man, like, you got to have some type of through line to the group because otherwise it's not working.
Yeah.
That's
either way. There's some fakery afoot going on here and whatever. Angela's going to make her attempt to call out Phaedra. It's going to flop, but she's one of those people where like, she tried, whatever, moving on. Whereas if it was Drew Sidora, would be like, she is so thirsty. She's trying to have a moment. She can't do it. She can't. She does not know what she's doing. She should be in the basement too. But with Angela, like, well, you know what? I love that she tried it. I love that she had the spirit to try it. Good for her.
And that binder was great. It was yellow, and right?
The selection was wonderful. That was not a CBS binder. That was Staples. Okay. There was real money put into that prop.
I just think that like, of all people, you decide to pick Phaedra, who should have learned her lesson from the reason why she got kicked off or put on pause. I don't know what you would call it, fired in the past. So it's like, I think mm-hmm. Phaedra would have been almost too smart to like take the bait so soon. Like, I'm only going to be here for 10 days. I'm not going to allow you to do this to me. Mm-hmm. Maybe next season. Like, so early? Yeah. No, next season.
But now she has a definite link to get asked back, and Angela does as well. Again, I think there's some trickery at foot, but I yeah. think it like all adds up to where she gets invited back, which is all she probably wants. Angela has his plot line, so she's getting asked back for sure. Marcus mm-hmm. Maybe thinks that he's going to be a friend of, so he wants to keep milking
Marcus
it.
Is a one and done. Marcus is like that guy who talked to Quad on the red carpet of that one season of Married to Medicine, who's like, I know for sure that Lisa's husband is gay. And like he came on to be messy and then like never seen again. Like, that's just sometimes our lot in life as gays is to just appear on a Real Housewives season for like 3 episodes. You make a mess and then you're gone. It's like the psychic on Orange County. That's like, I have a psychic prediction that Brooks is lying about his cancer. And then like there blows up the season and then is gone. Like, that's sort of what we do, you know? And that's Marcus is part of that tradition.
On OC?
Oh, that's hysterical.
You know,
Andrew, you have so much to learn. So much to learn to see.
I can't wait.
Oh, wow.
It reminds me of the guy Anthony, Drew's old quote unquote assistant.
Oh, yeah.
Remember right? when he started the shit and I was like okay.
What about the party planner who sued Candy and then went to Phaedra to get represented legally?
Oh my God, what was his name?
Bobby or something? Or
Bobby.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, it's just what we do. We come in, it's like we want like a moment and we don't realize how disposable we are. We just get, we have a moment and then they just discard us. And mm-hmm. like Marcus, I think maybe Marcus thought he was going to stick, but I don't know if he's going to stick. Either way, we have the cliffhanger is like this whole situation. Like, what's it gonna happen? Where's the lie? What, you know, it's a little embarrassing for Angela, but it's a fun
she'll
note to
back.
End on. Yeah, she'll be back. And hopefully you guys will be back too.
Receipts? Oh, I'll be back.
She did print some receipts.
Like, my question is, who is the one that sits down? Like, do you think she like sits down with her kids and she's like, okay, so I have an idea. I need a binder. But like, where did, like, who puts the receipts together for them? Like,
I want
like a background into putting the receipt binder together, just with their line of thinking. Like, I want to break
her.
Down, like, you
it's
know?
Just her. Because everyone, everyone in that family acts like they don't know Angela, which is hilarious. Her daughter, her mother, her sister, her husband. Every time she comes around, they're like, she's like, all right, I guess I'll have to make this binder of receipts myself. Printed out on her Apple 2GS. She's got the zigzag issues. Yes. It's like pinking shears.
You can't cut yourself. You can't cut yourself with them.
God bless. Well, thank you so much for you two. Remind everyone where they can find you on social media, both you two, and how they can listen to your show.
You can find me on socials at Andrew Pug. I'm only on Instagram.
Oh, and I'm at Diamond Sincere on Instagram, and I'm doing threads now.
Oof.
Yeah. I'm trying.
Lord, baby Jesus, I'm staying away from that. if you want to listen to Elvis Duran in the Morning Show, you can Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m., or listen Elvis Duran on demand wherever you get your podcasts.
And you guys are nationally syndicated, so I don't care, listeners, if you're not in New York, because you can still listen.
To this iconic
iconic morning show that I used to listen to growing up in New York, because Elvis is a legend, a true legend.
Hell yeah.
So as are you two. So thank you so much for coming in to fill in for Ronnie. I don't know how we talked for 90 minutes about this reunion where nothing happened on this reunion, but like somehow we talked about it.
This was so fun. Thanks for having us.
I loved having you guys on for Love Island and for Atlanta. Everyone, please go listen to The Morning Show and follow them on Instagram. And thanks so much for being here, and we'll catch you soon enough. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock. We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.